Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning, everybody. This is Danny Nesvetterani, your host for this Tuesday Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Thank you all so much for tuning in this Tuesday morning. And before I start, I want to acknowledge that we are on the unceded and ancestral lands of the Hulkamalum and Squamish-speaking peoples who have been here since time immemorial. And today on Speak Up, we've got quite a bit of talk program coming your way, mostly out of BC, some from myself, thankfully, as well as some coming from some of the islands off of the coast of the Lower Mainland. We've got a piece from Lauren McKenzie coming up, as well as a longer form piece from Heather Watson, who is also with CHLY as well as CVOX in the Comox Valley. And those pieces are going to be coming up quite soon. But before we play any sort of talk content this hour on Speak Up, I thought I would play a little bit of music. This first one is by Vancouver hip-hop R&B girl group Nada, who, if you haven't heard of, you're about to. So hope you enjoy and stay tuned. This track is called Delulu.
Like a cigarette, knowing that I will regret. Toxic, but I want my hip bone out of his socket. I just might, even though I shouldn't. Cause if the day I said I wouldn't, lying to myself, knowing that I couldn't. Praying that maybe I misunderstood. Voices in my head saying make the right choices. Get your bread right, make it feel like a fortress. But you got in Akita armed forces. Cause you got me acting do-lo-lo-lo-lo for ya. Acting so brand new. Do you wanna again? I don't wanna be just friends. I don't wanna play pretend. Can I be your baby, baby? Stay up and talk all night. She may cut the wrist, but that is back, not bite, not mine. But only if you want it. Always been a picky, never been a pick me. No, you can't choose who you love. Yeah, I said it, said it, said it. I'm just scared that you gon' take me for granted, granted. Cause the ones I love to love, trust that nudge deep in my gut. Ignored it too many times. Blinded by all the signs, deaf to all the sirens. Can't see red flags, looking out rose-colored glasses. Know what's real is real, this ain't what I imagined, no. Don't wanna fight, boy, why you think you cash is your bash? Got me lit up like a match. Got me acting lo-lo-lo-lo for ya. Acting so brand new.
But you can't bite it. Prayers and candles lit.
took my time to sit with it. Tiger's eye and loaded tip. Lost my heart up and
me acting
We are back with Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM. The last track was by Nada, and it was titled Delulu. And coming up next, we have our first news piece of the hour. This comes from Heather Watson of CHLY, as well as CVox from the Comox Valley. And this news piece actually comes from Texada Island, and it has to do with a local bear by the name of Tex that was unfortunately killed quite recently, I think July 15th last week. And there has been a lot of sort of, you know, devastated feelings among the local community of Texada Island that apparently grew to really love this bear. So without further ado, without saying too much, I'm going to play this piece for all of you. Once again, this is Heather Watson from CHLY.
This is a CHLY and CVox news update.
This is a community that hasn't had any predators for many, many, many years. And it's a community completely unprepared for a predator as such as a grizzly bear, with all the attractants everywhere.
On July 15th at 11:42 a.m., the Conservation Officer Service, or COS, posted to social media that the grizzly bear who had taken up residence on Texada Island was found shot dead. The results of the necropsy have yet to be shared, and the identity of the shooter has not been made public. The bear, nicknamed Tex by local resident and advocate Katrin Glenn Bittner, had been on the island since late May.
On May 25th, Tex has swum over from Powell River to Texada Island, and I knew instantly. At first, I was excited, and then I was like, in the same second, I knew this was not going to be good due to the community.
Glenn Bittner says that the lack of awareness on the island meant many attractants, things that would draw the bear, were left out. Anything from bird feeders to unsecured garbage to unlocked vehicles. She says that even livestock on the island is not protected the way it is in areas that regularly cohabitate with predators like grizzly bears.
I basically started being a voice for Tex when, as soon as I heard there is a kill order on him, I've become his voice. On June 1st, I have opened up a Facebook page called Save Tex, the Texada Island Grizzly Bears, and I spoke about myself. I spoke about the community. I have tried to educate the people about bears. I have tried to educate people about around their property. There was just zero awareness on Texada Island of coexistence with a grizzly bear.
Glenn Bittner says that bears hold a special place in her family. Her brother, Dr. David Bittner, is a biologist, bear researcher, photographer, and speaker. Glenn Bittner spent several weeks with her brother in Alaska observing a dense population of brown bears. She says she also learned to coexist with bears while working with livestock on farms and ranches in BC.
I've really got to see bears, their behavior, everything, the way they're misunderstood, the way they're, everything gets misinterpreted. And they are so forgiven. They are so, they're most amazing teachers. And we can learn so much from them if we just want to.
Glenn Bittner shares what the reaction was when the community learned of the death.
When we found out of the death of Tex, the community is absolutely devastated. It broke many, many people's hearts, and this was inevitable, 100%. This should have never come to this, and the ministry has failed us and have failed Tex the most.
Glenn Bittner details how she learned of what happened to Tex earlier this week, first with a tip from a friend that the bear had been injured on Monday.
On Monday, I received a phone call from a friend of mine that was out in the area on Texada Island, and she has been stopped by the RCMP to make her aware that there is a wounded grizzly bear, and the wound was caused by a gunshot, and they didn't know where he was. And to make her aware, she phoned me. I phoned the RCMP right away. And they have made a statement with me, and they confirmed with me that the bear has been shot at. He is being wounded. They couldn't confirm the seriousness of the wound, and we made it public on social media. And several hours, or maybe 4 or 5 hours after that, a confession has been made by the shooter that has destroyed Tex on Sunday evening with the 6 gunshots that tried to hide the body for 24 hours, and that it got confessed, and he needs to be held accountable now. This was totally legal. This was, Tex has always been a respectful bear, very respectful bear. For the people that were afraid of Tex, just his presence feared them. So most people that have seen Tex on Texada Island misinterpreted the encounters with him and did not get to see the true, beautiful, gentle bear he was.
Glenn Bittner explains that she is confident in calling Tex a gentle bear, as she feels none of the encounters could be described as aggressive, or they would have ended completely differently. There was only one report of a livestock encounter, which the Conservation Officer Service investigated and released the following statement. Quote, on June 10 and 11, 2025, on Texada Island, conservation officers responded to a complaint of a grizzly bear chasing livestock. The COS investigation determined no livestock were attacked and conflict prevention advice was provided to residents. End quote. Glenn Bittner says that the government is in part responsible for the death of the bear due to a failure to act.
The fear-based narrative spread from people here, including the government through COS, was intense. It was pure hatred against these animals, and it was truly split. 30% of Texada residents wanted this bear destroyed, and lots of people wanted to see him translocated. We had, since the 9th of June, we had everything organized for Tex. This is over a month as of right now, that we had a home that has been greatly offered from Chief John Powell from the Mamalili Kulu territory, that he would like to give Tex a home, and the fundings were there, everything was organized, and there has been silence. The government, the ministries would not approve this plan for a translocation that was basically set up from leader bear biologist and Chief John Powell with the First Nation.
The 30% statistic mentioned comes from an informal survey held on an online messaging board popular among Texada residents. Communication from the COS prior to the death of the grizzly detailed 2 previous relocation attempts of this same bear, twice in September of 2024, first from Gibson's, then from Sechelt. The statement declared in no uncertain terms, quote, in this case, it would not be in the interest of public safety to relocate the bear a third time, end quote. Despite this public statement, it seems plans were taking shape behind the scenes to move the bear after all. On Tuesday, following the COS post confirming the death of the bear, a statement was released by Randine Neal, Minister of Water, Land and Resource Stewardship, and MLA for Powell River Sunshine Coast. The statement included the following, quote, the timing is especially unfortunate as we were actively working with First Nations on a new plan to attempt to capture and translocate the grizzly bear from Texada Island to a remote area up the coast, far away from communities. This was done in partnership with First Nations who had come forward and requested this approach, end quote. A statement from the Tla'amin Nation on Wednesday supports the claim that plans were in place to relocate the bear. Quote, a coordinated relocation effort between the Sechelt, Tla'amin, and Homolko First Nations was already underway when Tex was illegally shot, maimed, and killed. The plan, which had been approved by conservation officials, involved setting traps to safely move Tex to a remote area at the head of Butte Inlet. We are deeply saddened by this outcome. Tex's life mattered, and our nations had come together in a good way to find a peaceful solution. End quote. The statement also shared that the Tla'amin Nation took custody of the remains and held a ceremony on Tuesday to honor the spirit of the grizzly bear. Whether knowledge of the secret relocation plan would have stopped the shooter from taking Tex's life is unknown. Glenn Bittner says this was not the first attempt on the bear's life.
There was, like I said, the 30% people that wanted him dead, but there was also the people that just wanted to be heroes. He has been shot at last Monday, a week ago, missed. He has been chased with two ATVs, where we've seen the videos afterwards with him panting, obviously in distress. And with the shooting that destroyed him was knowing his behavior and no interest in livestock. This was just pure, this was not out of self-defense, 100%. And it was not, he was known to be wanting to shoot the bear.
Glenn Bittner says that the community needs to learn to adapt so that the same scenario is not repeated again.
We need to be proactive on Texada now, more so than ever. Even with Tex being gone now, we cannot stop to be proactive to make this island that we can welcome a bear and be ready for him, and that it will not repeat itself again, because it was unacceptable what happened with Tex.
Glenn Bittner says that she and her brother, Dr. David Bittner, as well as wildlife advocate Ellie Lam, will be working further to educate the community and alleviate the fear of bears.
Especially our youth, that we teach them just like we taught them how to cross a road safely, how to be with wildlife. It's respectful living in nature, respectful with yourself, being respectful to your surroundings.
Glenn Bittner says it is time for everyone to pause and open their eyes, to observe a different perspective on wildlife and learn from animals without fear.
Everybody seems to want to live in nature here, but nobody seems to want to live with nature. I will not stop being a voice for bears. We will come again to Texada Island, and we will be prepared, and we're not going to make the same mistake, and I will be their voice.
Anyone with information regarding the bear's death can call the Report All Poachers and Polluters hotline at 1-877-952-7277. For CHLY and CVOX News, this is Heather Watson.
This report, in partnership with CVOX, was made possible with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and listeners like you. You can find more news updates, interviews, and stories from our nonprofit newsroom, as well as our news and current affairs program, Midcoast Morning, at chly.ca/news.
Thank you again to Heather Watson for that piece. A pretty tragic one, but I think one that brings to light a conversation that's happening in a lot of parts of BC regarding, you know, protection of not just wildlife, but wildlife that for some people, you know, can be seen as like daunting or scary, but is still a part of the ecosystem that we all coexist in and share. So yeah, very, very good piece. And before we get on to the next news segment of the hour, I'm going to be playing another song from another artist that is local to Vancouver by the name of Yawn. This one is titled I Deserve Better.
Sweater I thought I might buy, and then suddenly start such a bad guy. It's that I deserved better that time.
Once again, you are listening to Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. This is Danny Nezvedarani, your community journalist and host for the hour. And coming up next, we have another piece coming from Vancouver Island. This one is from Lauren McKenzie from CHLY in Nanaimo. And it has to do with a new art exhibit that opened up in Nanaimo recently, where sort of art and science intersect a little bit. And that's all I'll say, so hope you enjoy.
This is a CHLY News Update. Art and data meet in a new art piece now on display at Oliver Woods Community Center, visualizing the history of Nanaimo. Histogram Histories is the newest temporary public art installation from the city of Nanaimo, created by multidisciplinary artist Kieran Jacques Corr. The piece is a hanging fabric installation located in the community center's lobby, showcasing different graphs tracking the changes of seven different data points across the city of Nanaimo throughout the last six decades.
All right, so this is Histogram Histories. It's a hanging installation of these fabric cylinders, and each row of the installation represents a different metric through time for the city of Nanaimo. So we go back from, I think, 1970s or 60s, and then through to the current decade. And we're looking at things like maximum temperature, minimum temperature, population growth, number of restaurants, some cultural things in there too. And then there's a really cool one called Arrival Patterns, which is a community engagement piece. And then also, it's all part of the conversation, right? It's sort of, how do we look at data? How do we interpret data? How can we use data to tell our stories? And then, of course, there's some other things that we noticed. So I did one for the number of languages, and then that one was really neat because you'd think that, you know, back in the day, there's lots of languages spoken as well, but the census form was different. So the census form had like English, French, and other, and that was it. So you've got like three, and then when it was a more open form and they had better inclusion, then you get to like 300 languages. So it's also, you start thinking about that and how that's changed through time.
That was Corr explaining the seven different graphs displayed in her newest art piece. The graphs each represent population, number of languages spoken, maximum extreme temperature, minimum extreme temperature, number of restaurants, number of Chinook, and arrival patterns.
It's a histogram, which is like a chart that, they're kind of upside down actually, but a histogram is a chart that counts something. So you can kind of count anything. In this case, we counted population and different demographic information, as well as cultural information as well. And it's data which is usually interpreted as being cold and factual and boring.
Growing up in a community-owned fabric store, Cora says they wanted to have the data come alive with colorful fabrics used to create the graphs. The data was collected through census records and information collected through the Nanaimo Community Archives.
I originally thought that if I had some aerial maps of Nanaimo, I would be able to kind of calculate some statistics off of that. And I was lucky to be able to go into the Nanaimo archives and work with Jillian and Christine there. And they gave me some ideas. Actually, Christine came up with the idea for the number of restaurants. She's like, oh, you need a cultural one, something that's like fun and maybe restaurants. And so the restaurant one is actually based off of listings in the Yellow Pages. So that's neat because they have all these Yellow Pages from back in time, and you go through and you see them. So you see them increase, and then you see them decrease. And then you're like, are there actually fewer restaurants, or did people just stop listing in the Yellow Pages? So, you know, that's kind of a fun one.
She says it was an interesting project being able to research and look at the changes in the data for each of the graphs.
I think when we look at temperature, for example, temperature is like, it's been increasing, we know that, but like by a degree or 2 degrees or 3 degrees or something. And a lot of that change is condensed to the most recent decade. So the years before, the decades before that kind of look like not much change is happening. And then visualizing it physically, because I just normalized everything to inches. So the longest ones are about 100 inches, but they represent different numbers. You can't really tell. And then you're like, but if you looked at the actual data, you're like, oh, that is actually higher.
During the research stage, community members were able to add their own input about when they first arrived in Nanaimo, which Core incorporated, displaying their names and arrival year written on pink fabric sewn on the fabric cylinders of the arrival pattern graph.
Yeah, so that piece came together as sort of a way to involve the community in this sort of storytelling of this piece. And you can see there are these long cylinders, and they're wrapped around by these ribbons. And on each ribbon, it has a name of somebody and the year that they came to or were born in Nanaimo. So we solicited that information through a survey and also a box here at Oliver Woods, where people were able to write on the ribbon and drop it in. And if they did a survey, then you'll see my writing on a lot of them. So I wrote them, stitched them together, and then wrapped them around. So it's kind of a neat way to engage people in the process of data collection, and also obviously like the art display as well, but it kind of makes people think a little bit more about like, okay, what's included here, but then also like what's missing. So it's just engaging them in that process. But yeah, so you can see there's like disproportionately, you know, a lot more people in the 2010 and 2020s, which if you lived here, you might think, oh, that feels right. That's when people came in. But you might also start to think of like, okay, well, who uses the community center? Who answered that? A lot of kids kind of find it fun and interesting to do. So you can, you can see how the data might be skewed, but also very inclusive of anybody who wanted to participate.
More information about CORE's research and photographs can be found on their website at kieranjotart.com. Histogram Histories is on display at the Oliver Woods Community Center until 2030. For Sichuan News, this is Laura McKenzie.
This report was made with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and listeners like you. You can find more news updates, interviews, and stories from our nonprofit newsroom, as well as our news and current affairs podcast, Midcoast Morning, at chly.ca/news.
Thank you again to Lauren McKenzie from CHLY for that lovely piece. And now that we are about halfway through the hour, I thought it would be a good idea to get into the talk portion that I had planned. And that has to do with the City of Burnaby's flag raising event that happened yesterday that I actually attended. This was a pride flag raising. Specifically the Intersex Progress Pride Flag. And attending the event, I didn't really know what to expect. I wasn't sure if it was just going to be simply, you know, a couple counselors raising a flag and then that being it. But there were quite a few speakers. There were people from the designated Burnaby Pride organization, local government employees that also identify as queer that were there sharing their stories. And it was just a really, really lovely time. And thankfully, I was able to record a lot of it. So I thought I would play some of the clips that I gathered from the event for all of you to hear as well. Later this week on Saturday is Burnaby's Pride Festival, so if you're able to attend that, you should definitely go check it out. And without further ado, I believe this first clip is a small speech that was made from Burnaby City Councilor Daniel Tatro.
Well, it's wonderful to see you all today and to help celebrate Burnaby Pride and the vibrant 2SLGBTQIA+ community in Burnaby. Today, we'll be once again raising the intersex inclusive Progress Pride flag above City Hall. Now, we know it's just a small gesture, but it has a big meaning, and it signifies that Burnaby is a welcoming place for people of all sexual orientations and gender identities. It means that our community is committed to pushing back against bigotry and hate, which we're seeing way too much of, not just south of the border, but also in our own backyard. It carries special meaning for folks like you who devote your time, energy, and talent to making Burnaby a great place to be. It means that we're deeply committed to ensuring city workplaces continue to be safe spaces for everyone. And that's a responsibility we all share every single day. And also, just by being here today, you're showing your support. You're doing your part. And also, we here to remember that Pride is also joyous and a vibrant celebration. And a reminder that we must continue to push back against bigotry, hatred, and discrimination. And again, not just today, but every day. In our community, our differences don't divide us. They are what make us special. And I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to show my support. And I'm thrilled to see you here as well. Thank you again for taking the time today. And we have great speakers, and we'll be raising the flag shortly. Thank you.
Once again, that was a short little speech that was made by Burnaby City Councilor Daniel Tatro, who was in attendance with almost every single other city councilor, but not quite. I think there were a couple that weren't able to make it. And afterwards, there was also a speech given from a representative of Burnaby Pride.
Hi, everybody. It's so nice to see you here today. As Lois introduced me, my name is Azza Rojbi. I started as a volunteer with Burnaby Pride. Burnaby has a really important place for me in my heart. 14 years ago, when my parents and I first immigrated to Canada, we lived in Burnaby near Metro Town. Moved to Vancouver, came back. Now I live in Burnaby. I'm a queer person in Burnaby. I work in Burnaby. I shop in Burnaby. I'm just in this community all the time. And it's important for us that we are coming here in front of City Hall and be able to have this, I would say, way too behind. Like, this should have been something that have been happening for many, many years in Burnaby, but it's exciting to see that it's happening now and it's growing every year. And those folks that have came here a few years ago would notice the same. What I'm saying is that every year we have a bigger crowd. Every year we have folks from the community. We have people that work in the city. We have people that live in the city. So it's exciting to see all of us here, because I think one of the important things we have to continue talking about is Pride started as a protest. And it is continues to be a protest. We don't have to look very far to see our rights being challenged and taken away from us, whether there is in provinces nearby here in Canada or across the border in the United States or around the world. So we have to continue, as the speaker before me, the councillor said, fighting against bigotry, challenging bigotry. And it's important for people that live in Burnaby to see that reflected in their elected officials and here at City Hall. So welcome, everybody. We're starting Burnaby Pride Week. I hope you all not only pick up the amazing desserts that are in the tent, but also the leaflet that has the upcoming events, our festival that's happening this Saturday. Take more than one, put it at your favorite coffee shop. Bring your friends, allies, queers, families, everybody to Saturday. We want to build this community together because we need to win people over to our fight, which is fighting for a better and just world for all. Thank you.
Once again, that was Azza from the Burnaby Pride organization. And one thing that I thought was interesting in all of the speeches that were given is that it was very celebratory. It was a very joyous event. But there was also a lot of talk about, you know, the fact that there still is a lot that needs to be considered and needs to be done, and that it is an ongoing battle. for lack of a better term. You know, one thing that Azza had briefly mentioned was, you know, things going on south of the border, as well as just in the province right next to BC, in terms of rhetoric, and not just rhetoric, but very concrete action that sort of goes against those
everyone.
Things.
My name is Steven Scaccia. I use he, him pronouns. It's truly an honor to be here today, not only as a City of Burnaby staff member, but as someone who was raised right here in this city and who has called it home for my entire life. Since 2015, I've worked as an auxiliary recreation clerk, most recently at Confederation Community Center. And from the very beginning, I've felt safe, supported, and genuinely included, not just as an employee, but as a queer person. And that kind of belonging is something I would never take for granted. Just a month and a half ago, I married my husband. And he very recently immigrated here from the United States. But what we weren't expecting was how quickly he would feel part of this community too. My coworkers at Confederation surprised us with a cake, thoughtful gifts, best trip to Scandinavia spot ever, by the way. And so much love. It moved both of us near to tears, and that simple act of kindness and celebration was so much more than a gesture. It was a reminder of how powerful inclusion really is, and how the smallest actions can have the biggest impact. It made me realize something. This is what pride looks like. It's not always just rainbow flags and celebrations, but everyday acts of care. It's showing up for each other. It's choosing to keep learning, listening, and growing. It's knowing that we've come so far and still holding space for how far we have to go. To all of you who helped create this environment, who have chosen to be kind, to ask questions, to stand beside your queer colleagues, I just want to say I am so proud of you. You're making Burnaby a better, safer place, not just for me, but for the generations who come next. So let's keep going. Let's keep choosing empathy over assumptions, curiosity over judgment, and community over silence. Happy Pride flag raising, and thank you for being part of this journey.
All right, that was another speech that was given during the event. There are a couple more to come. But as I was saying, I had cut myself off a little bit there. But, you know, again, one thing that was mentioned is that it's not just, as he had said, it's not just pride flags and celebrations and things like that. It's everyday acts of kindness. And I think that really, I thought that was really beautiful. And I think sort of encapsulates something that maybe everyone should try to adopt, are just those everyday acts of kindness that show the people in our communities that they are cared for, and not only cared for but protected as well. Anyways, coming up next is another clip, so without further ado, here it is.
Steven, thank you for those beautiful words. Thank you very much. That was incredibly heartfelt and meaningful, and thank you for sharing. Really appreciate it. Next, I'd like to call upon Joe Kumigad, who's been with the city since 2003. Yes, folks, that's 22 years. I had to calculate that out. 22 years. 13 years, and his career has been as a clerk within Parks and Rec, and now he's part of the amazing customer service team at the City of Burnaby. He also is the acting executive assistant to our Mayor Hurley when Elaine is away. I give you Joe.
I'm fun size too, so I'm not short, I'm fun size.
There are times when I look above and beyond. There are times when I feel your love surround me, baby. I'll never forget my baby. Anyways, that's your signal that you know that I am Filipino. I saw a mic, and I'm like, karaoke, right? Anyway, so I did my homework, so I hope you don't mind. I may have to look through. I didn't memorize it. So my name is Joe. My pronouns are he, him, and his. I identify as happy, interesting, and fun to be with. And for those of you who have done your insights, you know that that means I'm a yellow person. Thank you for the opportunity to share a few words. I am glad to inform you all that AI was not involved in creating the speech. Figuring out ourselves is a journey of discovery. Knowing who we are, what works for us, what doesn't work for us, is key to our happiness and our lives. It takes time to live our truths, be undeniably ourselves, and express the fullness of who we are. I was born in the Philippines, raised in Saudi Arabia, and by my parents' determination, came to Canada in 1996. As an immigrant teenager, I was happy to learn that my new home, my new country, celebrated pride. It meant that there are people who live authentically, people who don't have to be afraid or hide that they're gay, lesbian, bi, trans, queer, or anywhere in between. It gave me hope as a young person that it was okay to be me. I joined the city in 2003. I'm a proud trans individual, and I could honestly say, if not for the people I have worked with over the past 20 years in Burnaby, I would not be the person that I am today. My Burnaby roots are with the amazing team in Parks and Recreation, the city staff responsible for the spaces where people enjoy themselves and where a lot of our youth come to have a welcoming, safe space to be who they are and have a place to belong. When I came out as trans to my supervisor, without batting an eyelash, she helped me change my email and my name in our organization. It took less than a week, literally 2 days, so talk about having great support. My Parks and Rec teammates were the first to respect my pronouns, whether or not I was present. And that speaks volumes. Pride is about self-acceptance and being proud of our truths. Pride is also a continued call for equality, wherever we are, and championing those who are striving for it. We are at our best when we can be who we are and not just feel safe, but feel celebrated too. Burnaby has allowed me, an immigrant Filipino trans individual, to thrive in the workplace. This sense of inclusion, belonging, and support is something that I value immensely. Long before the Burnaby Promise was a promise in the city, it was already a reality for me. I love working in Burnaby and I love living in it, and I really like the people that I get to share this adventure with. I want to thank the city managers, mayor, and councilors who have supported all the 2SLGBTQIA+ initiatives in the city and supporting the trans inclusion work group. I want to say thank you to every ally, the ones who make sure that our voices are heard and that we are counted, included, and considered when decisions are made. Let's continue to spread kindness and love and leave everyone better than we found them.
All right, so that was the second last clip that I had to play for all of you. And yeah, this is something that I obviously did not want to talk the most for, you know. I think that these voices and these peoples and these perspectives really do it justice. So coming up next is one last one.
Close to 22 years, also close to sort of 13 years. And before I give the mic back to Lois, I just want to share a little bit of my own personal sentiments. I'm not sharing this in my capacity at all. I'm sharing this as one of the staff members at the City of Burnaby. So my name is Vishad Deepa, and I am privileged to work at the City of Burnaby alongside the People and Culture team. I'm also very fortunate that my work takes me into working across all departments at the city, including our library, fire, and also our CMP. So my pronouns are him, he, and his. And I identify as a gay, cisgender male. But if all of you know me, I also identify as fabulous. In sharing a bit of my journey, which is close on to almost 50 years, I know you can't tell. I've always looked to try and find that sense of belonging and where I felt I genuinely should be. Through my teens, growing up in South Africa, I was the obese kid, I was the kid of color, I was also the gay kid. And for the time that I grew up, it was not the best place to be. It has its challenges. Then when I wanted to marry my husband 22 years ago, we were told we could not get married because it was not legal. We then struggled to have a son, which we had to wait as well for laws to change for us to actually become parents. When we became parents, we had to fight with the idea of, firstly, not getting parental leave because there's no maternal figure. At the same time, we had to fight for the fact that some schools didn't want our son in their schooling system. Later on, we immigrated for a better life for my son, which is 8 years ago. And if anybody else here are immigrants, you know, you're then also trying to fit in once again. You're trying to find your footing, you're trying to see where you belong. But I want to share that in 2022, I joined the city of Burnaby. Today, I can share that I have found my sense of belonging. From our mayor, council, our city leadership, colleagues, from across all departments who I can also call friends, I feel seen. And I can share with anybody that is a big space to be. So to everyone at the city of Burnaby, thank you for allowing me to bring my true authentic self to work every day.
All right, that was the last speaker of the event. His name was Vishad, and I believe he is the head of the DEI department at the city of Burnaby. And after that, the flag was raised, and everyone ate pies that had rainbows on them, and it was just a really nice time. So I hope you enjoyed all those speakers. I hope you enjoy the rest of the festivities that are happening in Burnaby, specifically this Saturday. And I hope that this month is good to you. So that being said, we have about 10 minutes left in this hour for Speak Up. Thank you so much for tuning in this Tuesday morning, whether you're on your drive to work, whether you're at work, or whether you're just hanging out. It means a lot. This is Danny Nesvedarani for CJSF 90.1 FM.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started. So I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians. The music library. Acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations. Postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
This is Bird Note. Imagine you're camping in the mountains, surrounded by pines, larch, and spruce. The very first bird you might see is a Canada jay as it boldly swoops down into your camp. This handsome jay has a smoky gray back and wings, silver-gray underparts, a tiny black beak, and big black eyes that seem to miss nothing, especially food. But the one food Canada jays don't eat is conifer seeds. So why do they live in conifer forests? It turns out the jays hide food in conifer needles and tuck it under the bark of trees with their sticky saliva. Like other jays that cache food, Canada jays have terrific visual memories. They can find thousands of hidden tidbits months later. Canada jays are so good at storing up food, they even start nesting before the winter ends. The jays can feed their nestlings entirely from the food they've stored away. And unlike most other birds that nest in spring and summer, Canada jays spend that time caching food for the next winter. For BirdNote, I'm Mary McCann. BirdNote's newsletter delivers the wonder and joy of birds directly to your inbox. Sign up at birdnote.org to get a weekly preview of our shows, stories, photos, and more.
And we are back with Speak Up only on CJSF 90.1 FM. You know, I think I had to catch myself there. For those longtime listeners, and by longtime listeners, I mean literally 6 years ago, I used to have a show called Next Up. Well, actually, it ended in 2024. But I think sometimes, yeah, when I'm playing this show, I do have to sort of catch myself and not say Next Up, but Speak Up. And even though Next Up is not a show anymore, I actually do have a new show. It's called Analog Archives, plays Thursdays at 6 p.m. And we have a lot of amazing live programming on Thursdays at 2 p.m. We've got Your Shoes Untied with Lauren. We've got Free Voices. We have The Arts Show. We have Wham Bam East Van after Analog Archives at 7 p.m. It's just a whole lot of amazing live programming and a whole lot of amazing people that are providing that. So thank you to the Thursday crew, and thank you to all for listening to our amazing programming here at CJSF. Coming up next, I'm going to be playing a pretty lengthy track from none other than Empanadas Ilegales, a sort of hyperfixation band at the moment for me, and I think others at the station at the moment, so let's keep it going. This one's titled Matador. Hope you enjoy. once again, that was Matador by Empanadas Ilegales. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed that track. I don't see how you couldn't, but anyways, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your host for this hour of Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. And we have reached the final minute of this episode. So thank you all again for tuning in. Make sure you stay tuned, because coming right after this, we've got Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. And make sure you stay tuned for all of the other amazing programming we have on this Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday, because we have just so many amazing people contributing to the programming here at CJSF, and it is all worth engaging with and listening to and getting involved with if that is something that you would like to do. It's very easy to come up to the station here at SFU Burnaby and fulfill your radio dreams. All right, with that being said, thank you again for tuning in this week. And coming up in just a few seconds, we have Democracy Now!